बिहारी जाया गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरा वनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रजगचार्य शख श्रीमद एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील रूपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रजगचार्य शख श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर शील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome devotees this morning for Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text 38. Yasminidam sadasad atmataya vibhati. माया विवेक विदधूति सजीवा हि बुद्धि तम नित्य मुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्वम् प्रत्युद्ध कर्म कलील प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिनिदं सदसद् आत्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधूति सृजीवा हि बुद्धि तं नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्युद्ध कर्म कलील प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिनिदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधूति सृजीवा हि बुद्धि तं नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्युद कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिनिदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधूति सृजीवा हि बुद्धि तं नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रद्युद्ध कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिनिदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विभूति सजीवा हि बुद्धि तं नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् प्रत्युद्ध कर्म कलिल प्रकृतिं प्रपद्ये यस्मिनिदं सदसदात्मतया विभाति माया विवेक विधूति सृजीवा हि बुद्धि तं नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् नित्यमुक्त परिशुद्ध विशुद्ध तत्त्वम् वन टू वन मीनिंग यस्मिन् इन विच इदम् दिस सद असद द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड एंड हिज डिफरेंट एनर्जीज Atmataya, being the root of all the cause and effect. Vibhati, manifests. Maya, illusion. Viveka, vidhuti, liberated by deliberate consideration. Sraji, on the rope. Va, or. Ahi, serpent. बुद्धि इंटेलिजेंस तम अंटू हिम नित्य इटर्नली मुक्त लिबरेटेड परिशुद्ध अनकंटेमिनेटेड विशुद्ध प्योर तत्वम ट्रुथ प्रत्युद्ध ट्रांसेंडेंटल कर्म फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज कलील इंप्यूरिटीज प्रकृति सिचुएटेड इन स्पिरिचुअल एनर्जी प्रपद्ये सरेंडर ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड मैनिफेस्ट हिमसेल्फ एज वन विद द कॉज एंड इफेक्ट विद इन दिस बॉडी बट वन हु हैज ट्रांसेंडेड द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी बाय डेलिबरेट कंसिडरेशन विच clears the misconception of the snake for a rope can understand that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to material creation. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan Ki Jai Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests Himself as one with the cause and effect within this body, but one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration which clears the misconception of a snake for a rope can understand that the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus, the Lord is transcendental to the material contamination. Unto Him only must one surrender. Purport. This verse is specifically stated to defy the Mayavad conclusion of oneness without differentiation between the individual soul and the super soul. The Mayavad conclusion is that the living entity and the super soul are one. There is no difference. The Mayavadis proclaim that there is no separate existence outside the impersonal Brahman and that the feeling of separation is Maya or an illusion by which one considers a rope to be a snake. The rope and snake argument is generally offered by the Mayavadi philosophers. Therefore, these words which represent Vivartavad are specifically mentioned herein. Actually, Paramatma, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is eternally liberated. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is living within this body along with the individual soul, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. They are likened to two friends sitting on the same tree, yet Paramatma is above the illusory energy. The illusory energy is called Bahiranga Shakti or external energy, and the living entity is called Tatastha Shakti or marginal potency. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the material energy represented as earth, water, fire, sky, etc., and the spiritual energy, the living entity, are both energies of the Supreme Lord. Even though the energies and the energetic are identical, the living entity, individual soul, being prone to be influenced by the external energy, considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be one with Himself. The word Prapadya is also significant in this verse, for it refers to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. In another place, the Lord says, Bahunam Janamanam Ante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate. Bhagavad Gita 7.19. This Prapadya or the Sharanam Vraja refers to the individual surrender to the Super Soul. The individual soul, when surrendered, can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated within the heart of the individual soul, is superior to the individual soul. The Lord is always transcendental to the material manifestation. Even though it appears that the Lord and the material manifestations are one and the same, according to the Vaishnava philosophy, He is one and different simultaneously. The material energy is manifestation of His external potency, and since the potency is identical with the potent, it appears that the Lord and individual soul are one. But actually, the individual soul is under the influence of material energy, and Lord is always transcendental to it. Unless the Lord is superior to the individual soul, there is no question of prapadye or surrender unto Him. This word prapadye refers to the process of devotional service. Simply by Non-devotional speculation on the rope and the snake, one cannot approach the absolute truth. Therefore, devotional service is stressed as more important than deliberation or mental speculation to understand the absolute truth. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namastute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha, Kalpataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha, Paitanam, Bhavne Bhyo, Vaishnave Bhyo, Namo Namah, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna So I'd like to welcome devotees this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class So We are in this contest where Prithu Maharaj is meeting Kumaras and Kumaras are instructing Prithu Maharaj about spiritual life and how to attain perfection. So this instruction mainly begins when Prithu Maharaj is finished his instruction to his citizens in one of the incidents which was covered in the previous chapter. And then four Kumaras happened to come and it's explained that Prithu Maharaj very nicely welcomes them, washes their feet, lotus feet, and sprinkles the water over his head and on his subjects and his family members. And very nicely welcomes him. And very interestingly, it's explained that he tells that please tell how one can attain ultimate welfare in this material existence. And in a way, he doesn't ask them about their welfare, which he explains that those who are situated in self-realization, God-realization, always absorbed in the Lord, don't need to be asked for their welfare. They are automatically doing good and in a very nice, natural disposition. So there's no need for their inquiry for asking their welfare. So one may think like this is like not very good etiquette, but as per the standards, Vedic standards, which we keep hearing, but we see otherwise, no, it was very nicely welcomed and it's nothing wrong. It's like a kind of glorification only for the Kumaras. And Kumaras then start explaining Prithu Maharaj about his question, that is, how to look for the ultimate welfare of the living being who is entangled in the material world. So they very systematically explain, and the theme mainly goes through from one verse to another verse, is like how to be detached materially, and then you can very easily get attached to the spiritual life. So that's how it has been going so far in these chapters. And of course, in conclusion, they come how devotional service also is very important. But so far, they have been stressing on sense control and avoiding sense gratification. So in this lines, you know, just I was seeing like how so and in this particular chap verse, so they are stressing on that. Just again we'll read the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifest as one with the cause and effect within this body, but one who has transcended the illusory energy by deliberate consideration, which clears the misconception of snake for a rope, can understand the Paramatma is eternally transcendental to the material creation and situated in pure internal energy. Thus, the Lord is transcendent to all material contamination, and to Him only must one surrender. So they bring up the topic of how Paramatma is situated in everyone's body, both living and matter, as we get to here in verse, one of the verse of Bhagavad Gita. एटीन पॉइंट सिक्सटी वन ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां हृदयेषि अर्जुन तिष्ठति भ्रमयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्ररूढानि मायया. द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज सिचुएटेड इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट ओ अर्जुन एंड इज डायरेक्टिंग द वैंडरिंग ऑफ ऑल एक्टिविटीज हु आर सीटेड एज ऑन ए मशीन मेड ऑफ द मटेरियल एनर्जी. सो दिस मटेरियल बॉडी इज कंपेयर्ड टू ए मशीन विच इज being carried by Atma and Paramatma within, and this verse talks about it. And the Kumaras also speak about the snake and the rope example, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this example is very famous among the Mayavadi circles, because here they try to distinguish between Atma and Paramatma, which are in the same body, but mainly the Mayavadis mix for them. They consider Atma Paramatma as supreme, or when the Atma, they have the conception of merging and Atma becomes one with the Paramatma. So that Prabhupada very systematically denounces here and stresses on prapadaye. By having such self-realization, one should, by understanding the difference between the soul and super soul, one should surrender to the Paramatma and not considered oneself as equal to Paramatma. And that's what is explained here. And just with the previous theme, like how they have been stressing so far of detaching oneself from sense gratification and attaching to themselves to Krishna. Now Bhagavad Gita 2.59 talks about it. So Vishaya Vinivartante Nirharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Yeah, so and also here it's explained that how one need to develop a higher taste. By developing higher taste, one can easily overcome the obstacle of sense enjoyment, sense gratification, or the previous memories of the sense gratification. And immediately in the next verse, in Bhagavad Gita 2.60, it is explained, Yatato hi api konteya purushasya vipaschitta indriyani paramathini haranti prashbam mana. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. So in the 2.59, it is explained that how by developing higher taste, one can naturally have control over his senses. Of course, in conclusions, every time Prabhupada explains what is that higher taste, it's beyond jnana, hatha yoga, or any other processes of speculation. And in this verse, 2.60, it is explained that senses are so much strong. So simultaneously, Krishna is putting across that how you can come out, but the senses are very strong. They are so strong that even a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them can forcibly be carried away by the mind. So one may ask, no, why is it that our senses are so strong? How is it? Why is it so difficult to control the senses? And I was just thinking of a few reasons. So one reason, of course, is that we get our senses as per our karma. You know, like different living entities have their different senses. Although all different five senses, of course, the sixth mind is more evolved in humans, but all the senses we see in all animals, they have, and different propensities. Now, examples comes like how different animals meet their end. You know, the moth dies by entering into the glaring fire. The fish is hung by the hook because of its uncontrollable sense for tongue, and elephant caught by touch, and similar different examples. Deer by his sense of hearing, wanting to hear good music. So it's explained that how these senses are so strong, and one of the reasons is we get these senses according to our karma. Second is, of course, we are having this body, it's our past karma, but whatever actions we do, there are always five doers, as Bhagavad Gita 18.14 explains. So it's explained that how if someone thinks he is the doer, it's not, he's thinking wrong actually. So many other doers are there. And third reason I heard from Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he explains that just in multiple choice questions, exams, the examiner gives so many choices and wrong choices along with the right choice. So, and test the discrimination and intelligence of the person who is being examined. So the Lord also, although he is perfect and he is testing us by giving so many other temptations, these temptations of course are his energies only, but he makes us take or decide that what is right and what is wrong. So he checks us by this way. So that is how these senses which are we having, maybe we have developed over lifetimes of karma, but are also a step for us to be tested, and we have to develop that understanding to how to overcome them. So of course, now these tests which are put across are also, the different temptations, day-to-day temptations we may be having, are non-different from Lord's energy. But through Shastras, we need to understand that how we should make right choice. How we should make right choices. So example comes of in Mahabharata of Arjun, like, and Duryodhana. So they went to Lord Krishna and asked for help, and Krishna told, on one side it is me alone not ready to fight, and other side is my army, that is his energy. So Duryodhana, like, he was after Lord's energy, he didn't mind, he didn't wanted to take Lord anyways, and he already told Lord Krishna told that he's not going to fight. So he's telling what is the use. So, and Arjuna on the other hand was okay. You know, he's not wanting his Lord Krishna's army, but it is okay if Krishna comes, even he's not ready to fight. So this is a very strong discrimination we need to learn. And then rest, the war is fought and we know what is the result. Similarly, in Ramayana also teaches us to make right choices. In Ramayana, it is explained that Kaikeyi wanted opulences, material opulences. She was a little worried and made kind of fearful by mantra that how if Lord Ram becomes the king, she will be losing her position which was she being one of the preferred queens of Dashrath Maharaj. So then she tries to send away Lord Ram, but her son Bharat, he again comes back and rectifies the situation by making the right choice again. So he takes to Lord Ram and strongly follows him, and we see like he is, although put into a very troublesome situation, but he comes out of it very successfully because he makes the right choice of taking Krishna, or no, Lord Ram in this case is. So as I was coming through, no, like different exams which we face, like temptations around, is maybe like Lord's energies only. They are not different from energy. They are separated energies, but they are coming from the Lord only. So we have to make right choices, and these examples explain. Also in Bhagavatam, we see in the Samundra Manthan pastime, demigods and demons come together. No, the devatas and demons come together for churning the ocean. But only difference, everyone was doing, no, there's a verse very nicely explaining. And everyone was doing the same thing. They wanted nectar. They were putting their whole heart into it. They were, you know, becoming sense-controlled, self-controlled to get the result. But the difference was only one. On one side, on the devata's side, Lord Vishnu was there. And on demon's side, Lord Vishnu was not there. And that's how we see the result also. So it's very nicely explained that how we should make right choice of getting and choosing Krishna, the Shakti Man and not the Shakti. Of course, it's logical that if one goes for Shakti Man, then Shakti also will follow. So in this purport of 2.59, Prabhupada explains that unless one is transcendentally situated, one cannot stop from sense enjoyment. So just first, like a patient has to follow certain rules and regulations, and these restrictions are there. But it's not that he is following those rules and regulations, he loses the taste for the sense objects. It is always there. Restrictions, therefore Prabhupada mentions, are only good until one actually has taste for Krishna consciousness. So until one can develop taste for Krishna consciousness, restrictions and rules are okay. Otherwise, it's just with time that one will again get, because one's senses of enjoyment is very strong within. So, no, similar question is also asked in Bhagavatam also. Parikshit Maharaj makes to Shukadev Goswami, you know, after end of the fifth canto, when the whole episode of different hellish planets is explained in the cosmic description of the universe. So he asks, Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukadev Goswami, that what is the solution for this predicament which everyone has to undergo to commit sins and fall in hellish life. So, Shukadev Goswami tests him by giving different solutions, like do atonement, do this, do that. But he is telling the famous words, na kunjara shochava. It's just like bathing of an elephant. Yeah, elephant may very nicely go in waters, bathe very nicely, but outside he comes again and bathes with the dust. So it's temporary. No, one may be doing external restrictions, but internal desires are very strong. So then he explains about the Parikshit Maharaj is explained by Shukadev Goswami about the famous episode of Ajamil, that how Ajamil was delivered, and that's the power of holy name that is explained. So we see here, here Kumaras are talking about stopping or restricting the senses and then taking to spirituality. And here we are seeing examples from this Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that how senses we may be controlling, but the internal desire always remains. And finally, it gradually, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita connects it to spirituality. Now here it's connected to Achamil's episode and how glories of the holy names and chanting is so very important. And Baldevidya Bhushan explains that about this verse, about 259, that one who develops taste, higher taste. Now the higher taste here he indicates is he sees Atma and sees Atma separate from the body. Seeing himself as Atma, which is separate from the body, then he can see sense objects separate and is not disturbed by their effort and is satisfied within. So, as the next verse explains, that even a person of good discrimination can be falling back to sense gratification. So, and the word here explains that indriyani pramathini. So, he loses his memory. He loses his memory of his previous learning, previous experiences, bad experiences, after effects of the sense gratification he had previously. He loses all that, and also of other shastric explanations. Besides personal experiences, what he had heard so far of shastras is also forgotten. And mainly he loses his sense of discrimination and sense of determination when one gets involved in sense gratification. And as a result of this, one is again and again forced to chew the chewed. What Prahlad Maharaj explains in 7th canto, chewing the chewed. So one may be thinking how one may be again and again eating the same thing, although there is nothing into it. The sugarcane peas, although chewed by someone, if it's again and again chewed, then how there is some juice coming out of it. But the thing is, the senses are so strong that they make us forget our previous experiences of the same incident and of the whatever shastric understanding we have developed, whatever determination or discrimination we have. So it is due to that force of the sense gratification that we end up chewing the chewed, which is always, and everyone is having access to it. But again and again, he is doing the same repetitive thing as a continuous, unending loop. So, in the purport, it is explained, like Prabhupada explains, without engaging the mind in Krishna, one cannot cease material engagements. And very nicely, he brings up the famous verse of Yamanacharya, Yada Avadhi Mama. The translation goes, since my mind has been engaged in service to the lotus feet of Krishna, I have been enjoying an ever new transcendental humor. When I think of sense gratification, my face turns off it and I spit at a thought. So that's again, it's being explained that how when one takes to devotional service, then automatically sense control is following. So it's not something like completely ignoring the situation. Things are happening around us. Things, we need to acknowledge them, face them. Things may be right, things may be wrong. We have to accordingly address them. But the point mainly, as Bhagavad Gita makes, in our day-to-day life, while facing different situations, as explained in verse 2.64, raga dvesh vimuktastu vishyan indrayati charan atma vasher vidhyatma prasadam adigacchati. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So here comes the next step. After performing devotionals, after controlling the senses, carrying oneself away from the day-to-day dualities of life, one can be equipoised, and this happens by following the regulative principles of freedom, that is, as we know, following four regulative principles as we do, and chanting, and other activities of sadhana, then one gets the complete mercy of the Lord. So it very nicely explains. So one has to come out of duality. Otherwise, if one is engaged in sense gratification, there is always attachment or aversion, and then one is always involved in duality. And if that way we are able to rise ourselves from particular situation and come out of the duality and remain equipoised, then Krishna is telling, he gets my mercy. And similarly, you know, like in 1869 also, Krishna is telling that one who gives my message, you know, he is very dear to me, he gives my mercy. So it's, you know, both working within and without also. You know, you work on your personal sadhana, and that also pleases Krishna. And of course, naturally, that is how one becomes honest also. And by preaching Krishna's mercy also, one can, one pleases him. Now, in similar way, we, you know, see, you know, allegorical story of Puranjana given by Narada Muni to Prachini Parishad. So he explains the life of Puranjana, and in fact he explains two lives of Puranjana. So in first life, Puranjana is a sense gratifier. He kills animals in hunting expeditions just for his pleasure. He is completely absorbed in his family and children life. And how it is explained, there is his unknown friend, but he is never having any time to access him. So this unknown friend is explained as Paramatma. His name is given as Avigyata. So in his that life as a Puranjan, towards the end, he leaves his body in a very miserable condition with all anxieties. He leaves his body and he has complete attachment to his family and friends. And is explained that because he was attached to his family and dies in a very miserable conditions, not taking to devotional service, not understanding the aim of his human life. So towards the end, he goes and suffers a lot after dying. And then again gets a birth of a woman, and then in second birth he is known as Vaidarbhi. So in this birth, Vaidarbhi, he marries another king. So this king is known as Malayadhwaj. So this king is said to be a devotee king, and he is performing all devotional activities. So they also have progeny. So in previous life, Puranjan also had progeny, but he was into sense gratification without taking much to devotional service, only to some Vedic rituals as a process of existence. So in second life, he is doing very nicely, this Puranjan as Vaidarbhi. He's also having children, he's also enjoying, but in a very devotional manner. And it's explained that how his progeny increases to such an extent that they take care of their citizens very nicely even after the lifespan of Manu also. And finally, towards the end, this king Malayadhwaj, he retires, takes vanaprastha, performs different austerities and undergoes austerities and overcomes the differences between hot and cold and pleasant and unpleasant and different relativities. And finally, he has self-realization. So in this self-realization mainly is explained that how he can understand that he is the Atma, soul within, and how Paramatma is there within him. And he leaves his body gradually. And this lifetime, Puranjana in the previous life, serving as Vaidarbhi, also has being with him, along with him, and serving him very sincerely. And she also starts undergoing austerities, everything, and finally understanding that he has left his body, she laments a lot and then prepares a pyre for doing the final rites of the body and giving her own life also. So in analogy, Narad Muni explains that when this is going on, a Brahmana, old Brahmana comes and introduces himself to her that I am
your friend, old friend. I am known as avigya, the person who is unknown, a kind of you have always neglected. So he explains, and same analogy is explained, that how in a very nice pond there are two swans, the way Prabhupada explains, and of course the Puranas also give the example of how on one tree there are two birds. One bird is observing, another bird is enjoying the fruits of the tree. So similarly, Narad Muni also explains that in this pond there are two swans. One swan is enjoying, another swan is guiding. So, and he tells that actually he has been looking for him from lifetimes, but you never turned up. And in purports, you know, it's very nicely explained that how is it that now Paramatma is she's having reciprocation, no, as Paramatma. So Acharyas bring up the point that she has served her spiritual master in this lifetime. The spiritual master is the husband out here. Very sincerely, lifetime she has served. So the communication between the Paramatma and the Atma became active. So due to so many anarthas, although Paramatma is within, but we are not able to hear him due to our so many contamination within the heart, lust, anger, pride, greed, and so many anarthas. So there is always a obstacle between the communication. But when one starts serving the spiritual master, his mission, his purpose, his different endeavors, then he is pleasing. Now the word comes in 4.34, like the verse comes, no, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that a text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualification. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from realized souls, and those are the Vaishnavas and Gurus, Guru Varga, and others. So by doing that, one get in sync with Paramatma. What is his desire? No, like normally current out the saying goes, are you connected? Are you aware of the latest things? But the main, according to Shastras, it is explained that are you in sync with the Lord's desire? Lord's desire is indicated to us through Paramatma. Now, Paramatma is also expansion of the Lord, personally present in everyone. So that is how it's explained. And one can connect with Paramatma by serving Gurus, Sadhus, Shastras. That's how is one of the lessons we can see from the this episode which Narada explains to Prachini Barishad. So besides how sense gratification gets us into problem and how following devotional service we can be living better in this life also and in the next also. And of course, another episode is also explained about is when Narad Muni, again, he is explaining his previous life to Vyasdev, when Vyasdev is confused about how is he still despondent, although he has done and written so many scriptures, but he is still not feeling happy. So Narad Muni explains to Vyasdev, etadhi atur chittana matra sprashe chayamuhu bhava sindhu plava drishto hari charyanu varanam. So Vyasdev had tried to cover certain sections by adjusting the facilities for sense gratification and simultaneously giving, but he very strongly had told that there should be sufficient and repeated description of Supreme Personality of Godhead in the scriptures. That will solve the problem. So in that purport, the Prabhupada makes the subject, the point is subject matter only should be changed. No, we maybe he has tried to bring up this different concepts and explain, but and in giving little room for and facility for sense gratification, and that was one of the reasons that is the reason actually Narad Muni telling that you are despondent. So he's Prabhupada is mentioning that the point is subject matter only should be changed, you know, like for us also. No one can check the process of thinking, feeling, willing and working. Instead of talking of politics of mortals, so Prabhupada is telling now, talking of the politics of the mortals, discuss political administrative by Krishna. Now Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam talks about his Krishna's actions in Mahabharata and Ramayana. And of course that's political in a way. But it is Krishna consciousness. And instead of relishing cinema, discuss the activities of the Lord with his eternal associates. So, you know, in few classes back, you know, like I think a few devotees were explaining that how Krishna came not only to kill the demons, not only to protect the devotees, but also exhibit his eternal pastimes. These pastimes which are always eternal in the spiritual world, and they are always, and in the material world, they are enacted from time to time. So by following and knowing these, you know, Lord's names, pastimes, forms, qualities, one can continuously relish and come out of the so-called duality of the life and relish Krishna consciousness. And in the next verse, Narad Muni explains to Vyasdev, Yamadibir yoga pathe kama lobha hato muhu mukunda sevaya yadva tathatmadha nasamyati. It is true that by practicing restraint of senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of the desire and lust. But this is not sufficient. This is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is making very clear here. So senses are considered like venomous snakes, and by yogas you may be trying to control these snakes. But Narad Muni's experience of devotional service to Krishna is more effective and practical than system of any artificially controlling the senses. So example comes, like Vishwamitra has tried so much to control his senses. Now it's and a small crack in the dam he had made for controlling the flow of his river of sense gratification, and small crack is there and it breaks up. But similarly, example is given by Haridas Thakur. He's constantly absorbed in bhajan. So it's explained by heat of the bhajan and seva one is doing, this river of sense gratification can be automatically evaporated. Now, otherwise, creating a dam of austerities or hatha yoga is a not very sustainable process. A small crack and everything goes off. So in this system, like how Vyasdev is told by Narad Muni that how other processes of Ashtang Yoga or Jnana and speculations are not the ultimate solution. You have to focus on devotional service. So also like I was thinking of today is also Jhulan Yatra beginning. Lord will be swinged in the evening hours till 12th, that is Balram Jayanti, and we'll be swinging the Lord in Jhulan every evening till Friday. So this is a very intimate pastime of taking in Vrindavan, and of course Prabhupada wants us to be considering these intimate pastimes of the Lord and with his associates to be taken in a very proper perspective. So just to understand first a little background, like we need to understand that Lord is irreproachable, although he may be doing seemingly wrong activities in material terms. We may be talking about as illicit activity or adulteration, but it's explained in Shastras that he is irreproachable. One cannot blame Lord. It's just like sun can gives light everywhere, but it doesn't get contaminated if it's giving light on a his sunlight is reflected on a dirty place. In fact, it purifies that dirty place by absorbing the evaporating the obnoxious liquids or solid out there. So, and of course, that's the reason Prabhupada very emphatically explains that one need to go in Bhagavatam study step by step from first 9 cantos and the 10th canto. And of course, other qualities of the Lord, although he is so unlimited and great, he is very humble also. Like, if we see the past times, he became messenger for the Pandavas towards Kauravas, proposing a mission of peace. Now, a messenger is not considered a very important person. It's a very insignificant person. He became a chariot driver of Arjuna. A charioteer is chariot driver is not a very important person. He ate the peels of Vidura at Vidura's house, peels of banana. His wife was giving unknowingly, not intentionally, she was feeding him peels, and he was eating it happily. And it is also explained to protect the Pandavas from the so-called wrath which was developed by Durvasa by unhourly visit of for prasadam at their place. So Krishna came and took a very small, insignificant, a very small remnant was there. So that was at the end remaining. So he took the remnant also of the Pandavas also. So Krishna is very humble. He took as chipped rice from Sudama. So how a very simple offering, but Krishna is honoring it. As in Lord Ram, he tasted and ate the berries which were tasted by Shabari. So Lord is very humble in spite of his so huge and unlimited opulences and greatness he has. So similarly, we need to understand that how he is beyond reproach also. So we see in Ramayana also, when Lord Ram touched the stone, it converted into Ahilya, who was cursed in a previous life. So he is transforming someone who has done mistakes. No, similarly, it's explained in Mahabharata also that Arjuna, who controlled his senses in the heavenly planets for the opportunity of sense gratification proposed by Indra to him, then if his disciple, Arjuna is disciple of Krishna, if he can control his senses, how can people blame Krishna? No, his disciple is able to control, how he can do. And of course, in previous life, Ramayana, Lord actually controlled, transformed Ahilya. No, Ahilya had been cursed. So that's a very eye-opener, like how Lord can transform, how he cannot be cursed. And similarly, we see the history of Tulsi Shaligram Vivaha. The pastime is like more of like he goes to break chastity of the Tulsi, who is queen of one demon that time, and in return, she curses Lord that you will become a stone. So he accepts the curse, but he is still worshipable. And that pastime, he is the scriptures is explaining that how Tulsi Jaldan, Tulsi Shaligram Viva, and other past time. These are very natural. So Lord is not, he is beyond the rules of morality of this material world. And similarly, we need to understand the pastime of Krishna and gopis also. They are in a different rasa. So in this, mainly it happens is during this time in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is called by her in-laws, is at her in-laws place in Yavat, and she comes to Barsana back with her brother Sridhama and stays in Barsana for some time. And then there they perform this pastime of Jhulan, and this season of Shravana month is very pleasing, and she plays swings in the swing along with her friends, and of course Krishna also comes to assist in different pastimes, and this is one of the pastimes that happens in Vrindavan. And of course in return, when she goes back, her mother gives her many return gifts and gave her and other sweets. In the way, in midst, again Krishna comes and takes away her gifts and the sweet gave her also. So when she goes back, and her mother-in-law shouts, "No, nothing, you have got back," and like, what is this? She always keeps doubting about Krishna. And then when she complains her son, Abhimanyu, and he opens the storeroom where they had kept whatever were the gifts, it was fully loaded with the whole sweets, that is Ghevar, and that place is also there. Ghevar one is coming from that pastime. So these pastimes keep happening eternally in the spiritual world and in the material world also. So to commemorate like this particular time, we do these kinds of, this is one of the festivals we perform throughout India in all ISKCON centers, and also different other places, Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, and other places also. So I would like to close with these brief so-called understanding I had for this verse and today's event. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.
कुछ एक क्लास में आप बता सकते हैं
सॉरी
वहां पर
सो
मोर
रियली
रियली
आई मेड यू लोडेड
अच्छा वो बढ़िया बड़े पॉइंट बताए यार यू हैव टू मेक राइट चॉइसेस वो अच्छे अच्छे
दैट वाज गिविंग माय
यू हैव टू मेक द राइट चॉइसेस वो एग्जाम में बढ़िया लगे अपने चूजिंग कृष्णा एंड वी आर नॉट चूजिंग एंड देन समुद्र मंथन और क्या है तुमने
Bharat and
Chitai. Haan, Bharat. So, ultimately, everything was a lot of all the late.
At what age?
College diversity.